ready if you packed my present. Shh. Shh. Just listen, okay? Crinkly, crinkly. Okay. From Luke 19. After Jesus had spoken, he went on ahead of them to Jerusalem. As he came near Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead with these instructions. Go to the village there ahead of you. As you go in, you will find a colt tied up that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If someone asks you why you're untying it, tell him that the master needs it. They went on their way and found everything just as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying it?" "The master needs it," they answered, and they took the colt to Jesus. Then they threw their cloaks over the animal and helped Jesus get on. As he rode on, people spread their cloaks in the road. When he came near Jerusalem, at the place where the road went down the Mount of Olives, the large crowd of his disciples began to thank God and praise him in loud voices for all the great things they had seen. "God bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God." Then some of the Pharisees in the crowd spoke to Jesus. "Teacher," they said, "command your disciples to be quiet." Jesus answered, "I tell you that if they keep quiet, the stones themselves will start shouting." He came closer to the city, and when he saw it, he wept over it, saying, "If you only knew today what is needed for peace, but now you cannot see it. The time will come when your enemies will surround you with barricades, blockade you, and close in on you from every side. They will completely destroy you and the people within your walls. Not a single stone will they leave in its place, because you did not recognize the time when God came to save you." Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out the merchants, saying to them, "It is written in the scriptures that God said, 'My temple will be a house of prayer,' but you have turned it into a hideout for thieves." Every day Jesus taught in the temple. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders of the people wanted to kill him, but they could not find a way to do it because all the people kept listening to him, not wanting to miss a single word. And if we could have the PowerPoint up, that would be great. And as I say, there's going to be something you're going to have to do with one or two people close to you, or you can just sit quietly on your own. It doesn't matter, whichever you choose. Throughout this year, we're thinking as a church about loving the world. And just recently, we actually completed the sentence, many of us, loving the world means all sorts of things. And today, we're thinking a bit about the fact that loving the world means feeling with the world. Feeling about the world, but also feeling with the world. Feelings are incredibly important. And it's important for us to think about what makes Jesus happy. I'm going to try a new presenter. Do I have to switch it on? It's on. This will be interesting whether it actually works. Jeff's going to start crying. Could you ping it on to me? Was that me? It was you. There you go. It could have been God, but it was you. Okay. What makes Jesus happy? What makes Jesus cry? And what makes Jesus angry? And when we think about loving the world, then we're actually thinking about our relationship with the world. And as followers of Jesus, if that's what we've chosen to be, then we get our lead from Jesus, our direction from Jesus, as to what loving the world means and to what loving the world doesn't actually mean. And Jesus' relationship with the world is fascinating. It's a fascinating one. He both comes into the world to save it, and he calls many people to be his friend. He's both critical of the world's corruption, while at the same time welcoming many of the most despised people into his circle of friends and followers. I'd like you now to not to leave the building, but to discuss with someone, or to think by yourself, and you can choose whatever you would like to do. First of all, the very first one, and we're going to have three of these little sessions, and you've just got about two minutes maybe. What makes Jesus happy? And I don't want you so much to invent things. You can think about it, use your imagination, but also you might be able to tell me something in the Bible that makes you think that it makes Jesus happy. So first question to think about or discuss, literally 2 minutes. Okay, chat with somebody. Lola, you can chat with Dami, she's your closest, whatever. If you're sitting on your own, you can always stay there or whatever. It worked. You haven't got time for more than just a quick little think. You can do it as what made Jesus happy or what makes. About stories in the Bible where it's spoken about, that's some evidence. Thirty seconds more. Okay, let's pause there. Everybody face this way. Wing nuts facing this way. Okay. Can you just put your hand up to indicate that you're going to speak and I will rudely point at you. And you need to speak loudly because we're not going to take the mic round. Cat. Okay, and there are other stories. Jesus rejoiced or was made happy by people who had faith in God, that God could heal and help their families, and that Jesus was going to be the one that commanded that. Okay, so that's one thing that made Jesus really happy, when people had faith that he could heal and help them. Dami. Say that again, please, because somebody dropped something. Love and praise, sing and pray. Those things make Jesus happy. When he sees love, when we sing, when we praise. Okay, Amanda?
We were talking the other day about the 10 lepers.
Okay. Okay, well, that ties in nicely with Dami, the person that remembered to say thank you, the person that remembered to praise, to acknowledge God. Hill? Right, he was happy in the home of his friends. He kept going back. He enjoyed having friends and family very much. Okay, let's try and get a couple more. Sorry, Dave. What about it? What made him happy? You're quite right, but what was he rejoicing at? What made him happy? Okay, I mean, I think you're right, the Good Samaritan made him happy that somebody went to help another person. Okay, Pauline? Right? Okay, that whole section, when you're doing good, when you visit people in prison and so on, it's as though you did it to me. You're all trying to be much too clever. Johnson?
Yeah.
So what made him happy? Okay, thank you. That's absolutely right. We don't need a sermon. Okay? Jesus was glad when somebody changed positively. Okay? All right, two more, and that's the maximum. Ewart and then Becca. Well, sorry, but I'm giving age before beauty. Okay. Okay, you're so complicated, you people. You're so much cleverer than I am. You're so much cleverer than I am.
We put it in a code word. You said Jesus likes pizza.
Jesus liked pizza is brilliant, which means?
He likes getting together with friends.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Just wait a minute. It's absolutely right. Jesus liked celebrations and parties. He went to a wedding and changed water into wine. John, was that the one you picked? Okay, that was your one. Well done. No, next one will do. Sorry to be tough. Sometimes just try and be human. Jesus was human and he rejoiced in the sorts of things that we just mentioned. Okay, so you've got your clue for the next one. Okay. Don't forget that he also said in the he spent a whole series of sermons saying what made him and God happy. The blessed, the happy sayings in Matthew 5. So Jesus is happy, those who show mercy, so the good Samaritan. Jesus is glad when people are humble and not proud. Jesus is glad when people are pure in heart. And Jesus is glad when people work for peace. These are the things that make Jesus happy. And they still make him happy, okay? And what makes Jesus cry, okay? We'll give you a picture that will give you a clue. And I'd just like you to give me two things that we certainly know that made Jesus cry. And it wasn't the presenter not working. Okay, two things. Have a quick chat, and then I will ask those who haven't contributed yet what made Jesus cry. Right. What made Jesus cry? Make sure you discuss it with your children as well. This is an all-age service, and we learn with different groups. Okay. Now, this is terribly important because if our children know when Jesus cried and cries, it gives us permission to cry. Okay? I think it's terribly important that we know that we can cry. Okay. Somebody that hasn't contributed, one group. I want two. Anybody that hasn't contributed, Rosemary. Yes. Okay, so death. So one of his particular buddies was called Lazarus, who died, came back to life, but then died again. But he died. Jesus wept, and it's the only occasion in the New Testament that the expression is used, he shed tears. He shed tears. That it's an amazing saying. Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Okay, the second occasion, still taking Rosemary's idea that Jesus cries at the sort of things we cry. He also cries about some of the things we don't cry about. Do you want to have a bash, Katie? Was it separate or did you do the Lazarus one? Right, when he sees the state of Jerusalem, it says he laments. We translate it weeps. It was what Liz was hinting at. Some songs are happy. on that day, and some are very, they're a lament, they're very sad. He actually lamented because he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, all the messengers God has sent you that you haven't listened to. And even today, he's saying, God has sent me to save you, and you won't receive me. And therefore, you will reap what you sow in the long run. So he wept at the state of this amazing city and the state of the people. Brilliant. And the very last one, and we'll see if we haven't had anybody contribute this one. What makes Jesus angry? And this picture may give you a clue. Okay? So, little chat. Just give you a minute. And we'll see if we can get any one of this. I'm going to... I'm going to go for the back row, so watch out. Okay. Wing nuts this way. Right, anyone in the back row got anything to say? Anybody in the back row? Jim, go on then, mate.
When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the people were quite expecting him to send everyone to
sleep. Okay, do you think he was angry or sad? I mean, you can have your opinion. I don't know. But a lot of emotion. I mean, Gethsemane, as Jim said, is a place of tremendous emotion. Probably all emotions and all emotions confused. Anybody else that wants to say what makes Jesus angry? Bernie? Well, that's fascinating. When people put obstacles in the way of getting close to God, and anybody want to just tell me what's the incident on the screen? Is anybody here? Emma? Okay, he overturned the tables. What else did he do, Rosa? Right, we don't know that he physically pushed them, but he certainly drove them out. And all the animals that shouldn't have been there anyway, they were in the wrong place in the temple, so it was clean and they were leaving all their poo and everything in the way, and they were ripping all the people off, and the priest Annas owned most of the stalls. So as Bernie says, when there were obstacles in the way, when people like the priests particularly and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, put obstacles in the way of people getting to God, and that made Jesus so angry, it said he plaited a whip. So he took some thongs, small branches. We're actually told by one of the gospel writers in Mark 11:11 that Jesus went back to Bethany to think about it, came back the next day, and then he plaited the whip, turned the tables over, drove out the money changers and the animals because they were putting obstacles in the way, and it made him really angry. Why have I asked this question? Well, in the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, I think Jesus has all the feelings of happiness. I think he's crying inside. I think he's very angry. And that is human. And human beings are made in God's image. So, as Rosemary said, you know, Jesus feels happy and cries and gets angry at the same things as us because we still have enough of God left in us to feel like this. But it's all also, therefore, God-like, with a capital G, to feel emotion. What about us? If we love the world, as Jesus loves the world, what makes us happy? What makes us cry? What makes us angry? We have a great high priest called Jesus who's able to feel sympathy for all our weaknesses because he feels in the same way as we do. He's tempted in every way as we are, and yet he doesn't sin. He does the right thing. So Liz is going to take us further on in this idea about how people felt on that day and so on. So stay active because there's stuff to do. Thank you.